Hello and welcome to Matt's Truck and Grape Podcast. Matt Ireland sat here once again. Now, just before we start, I'd just like to say once again a big thank you to all of our sponsors, everybody who's donated via Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee, and anybody who's sponsored just an individual episode. Every little bit really does help. And also, if you can, rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to it. It really does help with the algorithms to make it a bit more visible to everybody. So once again, thank you very much. And if you get 2 minutes just to rate and review, that'd be really much appreciated. So today's episode, I'm sat with a good friend of mine, Bernie Martin, and we're going to have a chat about Bernie's career in transport. Hello, Bernie. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you. Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
Excellent, mate. Excellent. Right. So, as I always ask my guests, how did you get into transport?
Well, my father was a lorry driver.
Okay.
So, all I ever wanted to do from about 5 years old was drive a lorry.
Fair enough. Who did he work for? Various companies or?
Yes. When I left school, had a gap year, which lasted from finishing school on Friday to start work on Mondays.
The gap weekend then.
The gap weekend.
Yeah.
And I worked for a firm called Prentice Aircraft and Cars as a mechanic.
Okay.
I'd done my apprenticeship for 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Wound up on the heavy haulage side of it.
So they weren't aircraft related then, despite the name?
They did originally do some aircraft, but eventually they just turned into a garage on Felixstowe Road.
Right, okay.
They had the main dealership for Roots vehicles, which included Comma Carrier.
Yeah.
So I did quite a lot of work on Comma two strokes.
Yeah, just on the spanners.
On the spanners.
Yeah.
The day I was 21, I was out driving heavy goods because I didn't have to take a test or anything.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so just grandfather rights. Yeah. You didn't need to do a test.
No. I had been driving them for years in the yard. You could drive them in the yard.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be perfectly honest, to back them in the garage and that sort of stuff.
You're just used to it.
I was a driver before I ever got a...
You had to do a car test, I presume, obviously.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I did.
17, were you?
Yes, so I got my car license to go on the road at the 10th of June and passed my test on the 3rd of September.
Yeah.
Didn't have any lessons.
You just knew how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It came natural.
Fair enough. So I take it you used to go with your dad at any opportunity
all
when
the
you were
time.
Young?
I spent a whole life with my dad.
Yeah.
On the lorries, and we had an old S-type Bedford. One time he had an Albion.
Yeah.
TK Bedford. When I first started, I went to work for a firm in Ipswich called Green and Skinner.
Yeah. Now, since sadly ceased trading, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
A long established company, weren't they, Green and Skinner?
Yes, they were. I mean, I had an old Dodge, four-wheel Dodge.
Yeah.
I was there for 6 months or so. Then I went to Allwell Roadways in Ipswich, which incidentally was my father named a company.
Okay.
Because he worked for Hodgson in Woodbridge.
Yeah.
And he named the company Allwell Roadways.
Right.
I went there for about 6 months, but they wouldn't give me an Arctic because I was only 21, 22 years old.
Yeah.
And then the job came up at Page Brothers at Cable St. Mary.
Yes.
And I was with them for about 4 years.
Yeah.
Started off with a Leyland Comet.
Yeah.
And then I had a big J-Guy.
Yeah. An Arctic.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. Yeah. The Leyland Comet was an Arctic and so was a big J-Guy.
Yeah.
I was on contract to LEP Transport. You feel
LEP or LEP, yeah.
Yeah. And I really loved it.
Yeah. So was that containerised at that point?
Just trailers.
Unaccompanied trailers? Or?
Yes.
Yeah,
at the time, yeah.
Right, okay. So unaccompanied trailers from the Netherlands come in.
And Germany places
like
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd tip them and load them and send them back on the boat.
Get your trailer board on the back.
Yeah.
Put the cable all the way through the ceiling cord up to the front.
Yep.
Yep.
And then I went, and I had a lovely little job turn up. I got headhunted. Come on the beach at Felixstowe.
Yeah.
AC Lloyds. It was the oldest recorded transport company in London.
Right, okay.
And I went with them till they went bust about four years, I suppose.
So who headhunted you then, Bernie?
Lady who used to run in transport, which her name from, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But
they'd obviously heard of you somehow.
Well, they knew me because I'd been pulling some trailers. They had some trailers.
Okay.
And a lot of the trailers we pulled were for a firm called Gelders in Holland.
Gelders, yeah.
So they knew me through pulling their trailers.
Yeah.
And Gelders wanted me to go and work for them
mm-hmm.
but I had to move to Northampton.
Right, okay.
Which I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
So eventually they went bust, and then I did a couple of odd jobs with some people. And
so you took the job for Lloyd's?
Yeah.
What, based in Felixstowe?
Oh, yes. Yeah, but...
And then Gelders wanted you to work for them.
They wanted me to go direct.
But out of Northampton, so you just stayed at Lloyd's?
Oh, yeah.
Got you. Yeah.
And eventually Lloyd's went bust.
Yeah.
They got took over by a young bloke who thought he could rule the world.
This is a familiar story in transport, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You're going to take over the world and, yep, it all goes pear-shaped.
And then I went to work for a firm in Ubberston, up near where you live.
Yeah.
Called Clover Transport.
Clover Transport, yeah.
Had an old ERF. Yeah. Went back downhill again. Had an old ERF and drove there. I didn't have any nights out. I said I wouldn't have nights out in it.
Yeah.
And eventually, because when I was at AC Lloyd, I wound up with a Volvo F88.
Right, okay.
They had two. They bought two. I had one down in Felixstowe, and the bloke had one in London.
Yeah.
Because we did the long distance, you know.
Yeah. So was this a time when digs were still quite prevalent?
Oh, yes.
Did you choose to stay in the truck at that point?
Well, we did, because we had a sleeper cab on the truck, you know, in the Volvo, obviously.
Yes.
Then I went on the ERF, and I wouldn't have nights out.
Because it was a day cab.
Yeah, I was basically in London.
Yeah.
And then they got offered a job by a very good friend of ours, Bob Carr.
Yeah.
Taking two trailers down to Iran.
Yeah.
Down to Tehran.
Yeah.
The old dunk drove one, and the guy who was running the transport wanted to take the other one.
Yeah.
So they had the two beat, they had two Scammel Crusaders.
Yep.
Which they went on, and they asked me if I'd go and run the office, which I went in the office for 4 or 5 weeks, I suppose.
Whilst they're doing that trip.
Yeah, but one of Billy Dunk had an accident down in Czechoslovakia, down near Sarajevo.
Yeah.
And obviously, being a Scammel, they couldn't get the bits.
Yeah.
So I went out in the car with a new radiator and all the hoses in that.
Had you been abroad at this point in your life? Or
I'd been on holiday,
just on holiday,
but not working.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, I went down and fixed that one. And as he'd been away a long time, his wife was getting a bit upset. He came home in the car, and I came home. I brought the lorry.
You brought the truck home. So when you've been on holiday abroad, where'd you been? Like France and Italy and places like that?
We've been to Holland and Belgium, and then my ex-wife's father was Danish, so we did have a holiday up near Copenhagen.
Right, okay. So I drove up there. Doing a bit of...
Oh, yeah.
But then going east must have been quite an eye-opener in the car.
It was different.
Going through the east of Germany?
Yeah, well, I went Germany down... At the time with the car, you could go down for Yugoslavia and that sort of stuff. So you didn't go eastern block.
Right. But if you were going to Czechoslovakia to recover the truck, would you not have gone through East Germany into Czechoslovakia that way? Or
no, because you could go down Austria.
Yeah.
So you didn't go into Germany, into
East Germany.
Yeah.
Got you. Oh, then round through Austria into Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
Got you.
Then another job came up and they said, would I fancy going? And that was to Aberdeen on the Persian Gulf.
Yep.
By that time, I'd got the Scammel Crusader with a sleeper cab and everything.
Yeah. So you're back on the road.
Yeah.
You come out of the ERF.
I didn't like the office that much.
No, I don't blame you.
Well, it was a problem because when you've been working with guys for years and then you've got to start giving them the instructions and order that don't go down and they try to take them.
And that's the miggy. Yeah. And it's the age-old thing, isn't it? The former driver going to the office can be the best thing or the worst thing because they know the job, it's difficult to pull the wool over their eyes. But equally, you seem to get resented instantly just because it's almost like you've stepped up the ladder and you're now not one of them sort of thing, isn't it? It's just, it's a classic scenario. It's happened so many times.
So anyway, I went down with a guy from DIS down to Aberdeen down on the Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
And reloaded back in.
Can you remember what sort of time of year it was when you did this?
It was in the summertime. There wasn't
vague and hot then.
Yes, it was. We went
because the Scammel, I presume, had no aircon.
Oh, but you wind the windows.
You wind the windows down, let some hot air in,
and you get covered in dust.
Yeah,
so everything was dusty. but that opened my eyes, and then I did another trip and took a person we were talking about earlier.
John Overton. Yeah.
He had the other Scammel.
Yeah.
Which wasn't a sleeper cab, but had a bed in it.
Right, okay.
And that was about 3 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
We ran down to Istanbul.
Yeah, so just a local then?
Just a local.
Yeah.
We did that and came back.
Again, was that, that was down through Yugoslavia? Going overland that way, wasn't it?
No, Bulgaria? Didn't. No, we didn't. We had to go Romania and Bulgaria.
Right.
Because there was, you had Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, so through Capitan Andrevo.
Yeah, you... No, we had to get the train from... Yeah, we had to get the train from Cologne to Ludwigsburg.
Yeah.
And then... drive out to Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, so Austria, Czechoslovakia.
No, not Austria.
No?
Czechoslovakia. Couldn't get permits for Austria.
Right.
Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania.
Bulgaria.
Bulgaria and into Turkey, down to Istanbul.
Yeah. What were the border queues like? Can you remember? They pretty bad?
There was much hold up because there was a lot of problems in Kapikila going into Turkey.
Yep.
But we wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
In fact, the few trips I did down here to Istanbul, I didn't
nothing major.
Nothing major, but no, some of them
quite lucky then, really.
Well, some of them you only got to get there and there's a problem with your paperwork.
That's it. Yeah,
and you could be there for a week.
Yeah,
but you know, Bob Carter was very thorough with his paperwork, and
well, he was. Yeah, and for anyone who doesn't know, my very first book was about Bob Carter, who ran Trans UK. The first ever trip that the company did, Bob accompanied them in his car, so he had an idea of what border is what, where you need to go, who you need to see, and he wrote the drivers a handbook just so they could take with them. Did you ever get one of these handbooks?
No, I didn't.
No?
No.
Because you're a subcontractor.
Yeah. I did that, and another trip to Istanbul. And then the company, Clover Transport, decided in their old wisdom to do a trip for another company in Felixstowe down to Damascus.
Okay. You can't remember who?
I can't remember who it was, but it was a fatal job because the trailer I got had got a problem with the brakes before we ever went. So I went down to Damascus and delivered in Damascus and came back and loaded in Yugoslavia.
Mm-hmm.
And then had a bad accident in Prague.
Right, okay.
Serious accident in Prague.
Yeah.
They sent me home with a big concrete thing around my neck. They thought I'd broken my neck.
Right.
But it wasn't, luckily, touch wood, I haven't had any problems with it, which they said I would do.
So what happened with the truck then? Did you...
Well, we got completely
written off. Right, okay. So what, you fly home? Or?
They flew me home and then an ambulance picked me up in Heathrow and brought me back home.
Blimey. But you're all right, essentially.
Yeah, I had to get a hacksaw out of the garage to cut the concrete off my neck.
So the truck and trailer just left and...
Well, no, because we had to you had to get that stuff home. So they come on to another lorry, picked a load up, what was left of it.
Yep.
Because it rolled over.
Right, okay.
I think they brought the trailer home. They couldn't find a unit.
Right.
Anyway, after I'd got recovered about 3 or 4 weeks, I flew back out to Prague to try and find a unit.
Yeah.
Which I went to the embassy and they helped me. And we eventually, it was too bent to bring on the trailer. They had to cut it to bring it home.
Right.
But we had to get it home to get it written off.
Right. Yeah, to get your insurance payout.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we got that back and my wife was very upset about me having an accident and that sort of stuff. And she didn't want me to go back. So... Well, then I went on to just doing Holland and Belgium for quite a long time.
What for? Still for Clovers?
No, I came off that in the end and I went to work for, my mate Brian and Norma, which is now Brian Hall.
Yeah.
I worked for him for 7 years. Brian did the trip down to Baghdad and while he was away, I ran the old truck.
Yeah.
I sort of ran it myself. And when he came back, I obviously had the new one and he wanted to go and start an office and some warehousing, which he did, over at Claydon.
Yep.
And basically, I'd done a lot of work for a firm in London, and all they specialised in was furs.
Okay.
Because the biggest fur sales in the world were in Hudson Bay in London.
Okay.
But they wouldn't release the furs until they were paid for.
Yeah.
on a Friday afternoon. So it was always late Friday, sort of all night Friday loading.
Yeah.
But so you get like a 100-weight sack, you get 5,000 furs in, 5,000 wow. skins in it.
Yeah.
And they all had to be counted.
Yeah.
And stamped.
Yeah.
So we're not on the ear.
Yeah.
And I had to be in Frankfurt for 8 o'clock on a Monday morning.
Right.
So you had to ship out Sunday day and then catch and then drive overnight to deliver these. Because obviously the first ones there were the first ones to go into the dressers.
Yep.
So I did that for...
So was this still for Brian Orr then?
Or was this it was for Brian.
Yeah.
But we, you know, Brian Orr, but
yeah.
Brian Orr were not... it was Brian Orr Service, as we used to be called.
Because there's so Brian Orr is Brian and Nora, isn't it?
Norma,
sorry.
Yeah.
Amalgamation of their name. And then there was a Manfred. Was...
Yeah, well, what happened was I'd got these loads down here and Manfred was starting up on his own in, would you believe, Brian's back bedroom.
Yeah.
He worked for a company.
And he lodged with them, didn't he?
I don't think he did.
No?
He had a wife and two children, which they lived in Felixstowe. He started up on his own as Brian Orr Freight.
So Brian and Nora had Brian Orr Services.
Yeah.
And Manfred started up Brian Orr Freight.
Yeah. Because he wanted the name, and I suppose there was complications about getting a start in his business.
Yeah.
When Brian and Norma, I did a trip to Yugoslavia down for them. And then I went on doing these furs because they'd known me for quite a long time.
So this is for Brian Orr Services,
yeah.
For Brian and Nora, and not Brian Orr Freight.
Yeah. I've done some work for this firm in London through a guy up in Heacham in Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when Brian and Norma decided to knock it on the head and just keep the one truck, I went with Manfred.
Right, okay.
And never look back.
Yeah.
Best job in the world.
Yeah.
This episode of Matt's Truck and Grape podcast is proudly sponsored by Creasy Drainage. If you're dealing with blocked drains, flooding, or drainage problems, Creasy Drainage is a team to call. They provide professional drainage services for homes and businesses, including drain unblocking, repairs, septic tank emptying, and CCTV drainage surveys. They're known for fast response times, honest advice, and getting the job done right the first time. For reliable drainage services you can trust, check out Creasy Drainage. The details will be in the show notes.
I mean, for truck driving, he knew I knew the job.
Mm-hmm.
And you left me alone. I was left alone 100%. We're still mates.
Yeah.
The transport manager still comes over here and has a beer with me.
Yeah. Can you remember what year roughly that would have been when you swapped from Brian Orr Services to Freight? Or not? Was it asked a lot? In the 80s, I guess.
The truck I had was HPV 755V.
So that's a very early 80s reg, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if it was, would it have been new or second hand? Probably second hand.
No, it was new when Brian bought it.
Yeah.
It was about 6 months old when I got it.
Yeah.
Then I went, as I say, went to work for Manfred.
Yeah.
And he brought a truck down because he had dealings with a company up in Staffordshire,
mm-hmm.
Quick Freight. And they basically had lorries and trailers, you know, as drawbars, not drawbars as such, but
Wagon
and drag.
Yep.
And they wanted to get rid of the unit. Well, he brought the unit down, had it painted, and I had that.
Yeah.
Had it for quite a long time.
So you were Brian Orr's first driver?
No, I wasn't. I was... The first drivers he had, one was a man and one was a woman, believe.
Okay, yeah. Quite unusual at the time.
Yes,
I know, again, going back to Bob Carter, he had Christine.
Yeah.
He employed her. But, yeah, they were very few and far between, weren't they?
Yeah, she did the continent and everything like that. And eventually she got married, came from Woolpit.
Okay.
Yeah, and I went to work for Manfred, and to be perfectly honest, it's the best trade in the world.
Yeah.
You couldn't not wish for a better boss.
Yeah. So was it a lot of distance? Obviously, it was European work. Was it mostly Germany? Because Manfred, I presume, is German, isn't
he? Yes, he is. But most of the work we did was, I did a lot of work in the Frankfurt for Danzas.
Yeah.
I was on contract. I had a trailer with Danzas on.
They, if I remember right, because do you remember Jerry Keating?
Yeah.
I'm sure he had a Danzas liveried Volvo for Brian Orr's. as well at one point I've got a photo of somewhere.
I don't know, probably.
I think. So obviously a big customer was Danzas for Brian, wasn't
it? It was, yeah. I mean, you know, I was on contract, so I was just load every, I'd load on Tuesdays and then ship out and get back. No, did I?
Where would you load from, around this area?
London area. And then had a development Manchester, we used to go up there occasionally as well, and different things.
So I guess it depended where you loaded as to where you'd ship out?
Yeah, well, normally out of Felixstowe.
Mostly Felixstowe.
And then we loaded back for Danzas and delivered and reloaded them. That's all I did.
Yeah.
And then that sort of came to an end at the end. Mm-hmm. Other different jobs and with Manfred.
Yeah.
Doing Frankfurt again, different places. Because that's where the furs went to Frankfurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd done about 18 months, 2 years down doing that for Brian Hall.
Yeah.
Brian Hall Services. And then Brian Hall Freight, I did about 2 years doing Danzas work.
Mm-hmm.
Then that sort of finished, and I started doing Italy and Greece, and I did that for, I don't know, 10 years or so. Just Italy and Greece. I used to do nearly all the Greek work.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I love going to Greece.
I loved it. But then...
Was that overland, or you get the ferry from Italy?
Oh, no, you get the ferry from...
Did you go Bari? Or
no.
Brindisi?
No.
Or further up, Ancona?
Ancona.
So the long boat then?
It was, but it was by the time you paid the tolls and diesel to go down to Bari and Brindisi, it was cheaper to use
the Ancona. Plus, you get a longer break. You're not going to have a blowout when you're on the ferry.
Not only that. And if you worked it right, you could get down there Friday morning.
Yeah.
Tommy got to Harry's truck stop, which you know very well.
Aspergerus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once you got there, you was finished till Monday.
Yeah.
Plus Harry was absolutely fantastic, helping you with places to find and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I did some work up to Saloniki, Thessaloniki, what they call it.
Thessaloniki, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
But in the Manfred, I got involved with a local policeman in Claydon, so I lived in Claydon.
Yeah.
And him and his wife, she was Romanian.
Yeah.
And they started up Ipswich A to Romania.
Okay.
As I lived in Claydon and he knew me, we asked him if I was interested in running down to Romania.
Right.
So I had a word with Manfred and he said, yeah. I said, all the diesel's paid there and back.
Yeah.
The ferries are paid both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get a load from Germany, you're getting a load brought back for nothing.
Yeah.
I said, I'll take me fortnight's holiday. So that's only costing you what I think.
Yeah.
And I did 7 trips in 7 years down to Brasov.
One a year. Yeah, to Brasov, yeah.
And that was...
That must have been rewarding.
That was fantastic.
Because obviously at the time, Romania would have been just...
Yes.
This was after Ceausescu had been got rid of.
Yes, it was. And the people I went to in Romania where we stopped a family, and most of them spoke English because they worked in schools and...
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing I said I wouldn't do was deliver to a warehouse. It all went to where he got to go.
Yeah.
Because there was so much thieving going on for warehouses.
Just out of desperation, I guess, because these people just literally had nothing to do.
Yeah. Just one instance, we took a load of soup down there, what had been donated in big cans, what they use in restaurants.
Oh, like the big catering cans, yeah.
They were, you know, couple of 3 weeks out of date, and we got to the border going into Romania, and the guy said, oh, you can't take this, you must go back to England with this. It's out of date. So the guy who was with me, who's run the policeman, was arguing with him, and I went off and found a lady who was in charge who spoke really quite good English.
Yeah.
Brought her down and took one of these big cans of soup off the trailer and said, would you like this for your children? She said, oh, that would be absolutely lovely. Thank you so much. I said, now, can you explain to me why, if it's good enough for your children, why it's not good enough for people who've got nothing?
Yeah.
And we got through with it.
Yeah.
Not a problem, you know, but it was just knowing how to handle these people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good. And that was lovely to see. I mean, the orphanage was unbelievable.
It must have been pretty harrowing, really, seeing.
It was, Oh, and one, the orphanage we supported most was in a place called Codlier.
Mm-hmm.
We went there every year. And we took a load. One year we had a lot of Mr. Kipling's cakes that had been donated. Well, everything was donated.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And we delivered these cakes to these children, and they helped the sunbird because they got no forklift truck, up no handle. And on the Sunday, somebody saw this lady selling the cakes at a market.
Yeah.
And she lost the job and got fined.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's unreal.
Mm.
But I say they were. It was
just desperation, wasn't it?
Yeah, desperation.
Yeah.
But
and I remember when I was growing up reading about various aid trips that people had done and whatnot, but you, reading about it and actually seeing it will be two completely different things, because although there's photographs in the magazines, still you're not going to get any sort of sense of the real desperation of these people who've...
No.
We can't imagine what it's like to literally have nothing.
Well, you can't, because, you know, the hospital we delivered some beds and that to, there was a baby ward there, and the ladies would have the baby, just get up the next day and walk away, and that was it, end of story.
Yeah.
There was a baby orphanage up in the Sanagorgia. When they got to 3 or 4, they'd be sent to another orphanage, and when they were 16, they were pushed out.
Yeah.
You know?
Left to fend for themselves.
But they, you know, the one we supported in Codlier was quite good.
Yeah.
But we went to another place, a place called Zarnesti, which was a hospital for people with dementia and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
There again, they used to get the people to come and help you offload the trailer, and all they got was slippers.
Yeah.
And pajamas. They ain't got anything else.
Yeah.
They shoo us around this place. It was very harrowing because the room was about 15 foot by 15 foot, I suppose. It was 4 beds in it.
Yeah.
No heating. No window.
No window.
No.
Just a hole.
And in the winters in the Romania, it's very,
it gets
very
cold. Yeah.
And they took us to another room upstairs where they have had a problem with a patient and got a cage put. So that was, yeah, it was quite
unreal. Harrowing. Yeah. It just, I mean, this is what, 30 years ago, roughly, in the 90s, you were doing this? Because you had a DAF at the...
No,
I... Was it before that?
No, I didn't with the DAF.
Was it late?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, because we've been here 26 years.
Yeah.
So it's going to be 30, 35 years ago.
So sort of mid to late 90s into the 2000s then. So it's even more recent.
No, it's going back into the 90s.
Into the 90s. Yeah.
So I haven't done it. Have I done it since I've been here? I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I have, yeah. A couple of trips.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was when I was at school, I wasn't very
academic.
No.
Yeah.
I never bunked off.
Yeah.
I went to school every day.
Yeah.
Learned the basics to read, like a lot of stuff that we learned, like algebra.
Yeah.
I never used it since.
No, same as me. And that's my one of my favourite arguments for, alternatives to education.
Yeah.
So I've never needed algebra in my life.
No.
I can't remember even how to do it generally.
No. And like history, I mean, yes, that's okay. It's interesting about the kings and queens. But wouldn't it have been more interesting to learn about what happened in the war and places like that? I don't know.
I think so. More, make it more relevant.
But the one thing I did get to do, I took a man you might possibly know, Tom Cunningham, does that ring a bell?
Tom Cunningham, photographer?
Not only photographer, but he was a journalist.
Yes. Yep.
He came on a trip with me.
Right.
And he wrote up what we did.
Yeah.
For the Trucking International.
It was for Trucking International, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the following year, I got a runner-up Truck Driver of the Year award for the work I'd done to help people in Romania.
That's nice.
Have you not seen the books or magazines?
I think I have at some point.
Yeah,
I've
got the magazines in there. Obviously kept them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm quite proud of that because I never got an award for anything else.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, very humbling, I expect, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
In
your time doing it, did you sort of notice improvements in Romania as, obviously, if you did 7 years' worth, did you notice it gradually improving, or did it kind of stay just as bad the whole time?
It was before we went in, as they came into the EU, it didn't improve a great deal.
I suppose there's no, if it's not part of the EU, that wouldn't have had any external money being pumped in.
No, I mean, a lot of the roads were... What did improve slightly were done by Italy, places like that. And there was quite a bit of Italian influence.
Yeah.
But then a couple of nice things that happened to me there. The family I was staying with took me to Castle Bonhomme.
Mm-hmm. Dracula's Castle. Yeah, I've been there on a day off.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, beautiful, wasn't
it? And also another place where the Romanian people would save up all the year to go there for one day.
Yeah.
Which is a place called Chania.
Okay.
Where Ceausescu and his wife had two castles.
Right.
And one at the end was a museum.
Right, okay.
So that was two quite nice days. But the time in Brasov was, it was all right.
Did you ever get to Bucharest itself?
I had been a couple of times when I was doing the
General Hall of Justice.
General Hall,
yeah. Because did you ever see his palace? Or I suppose
no,
on January you're not going to be anywhere near it.
Well, this is the problem with, you know as well as I do, driving the lorry. I mean, I've been so many times to Rome.
Yeah.
I never saw the Vatican.
No, exactly.
Like that.
Because it's not an industrial state near there, is it?
No.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
That's why I was very lucky in the touring world to, if you've got a day off, just make the most of it and go and see these historical sites. And going back to Ceausescu's palace, they used to, they presumably still do shows outside and you get parked right there. I mean, it's just, you see it, it's just absolutely stunning and amazing. But you just think, you look at it, you think this is all done at the expense of the entire nation. How he got away with it is just, obviously, didn't in the end, but...
In Brasov itself, the main street goes down and there's shops. One shop was very, very similar in build and the way they did things to Debenhams.
Yeah.
Even going back them years.
Right.
But he come to the end of the street and opposite side of the road was a gun turret.
Yeah.
With a machine gun model and everything.
Yeah.
And the bullets are still in the buildings where they hadn't took them out.
Blimey.
That's for... when the uprising was.
Yeah. Yeah. Unreal.
Yeah.
It's just one hell of an experience, isn't it?
Well, it was something that you would know, you probably would never know if you didn't see it.
No.
But, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. So I guess they just, when did the aid stop then? Do you know what happened or?
Well, I think the marriage broke up.
Ah, okay.
As far as I know.
Yeah, so that was the end of the project. And
It was, and I think they moved out of... He came out of the police service and...
Yeah.
I did hear from him a couple of years ago, but...
Yeah.
But we had a fantastic 2 or 3 weeks together.
Yes.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
But there again, I've only ever seen him about once since then. I bumped into him in Oldham.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, as far as I know, he's still doing the photography thing. And,
is he?
Yeah, he goes off the magazines.
Because the magazines I've got with his photos.
Yeah,
he's
an amazing photographer.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
Because he got an HGV as well, and you can drive.
I've got a thing, he used to have a transport company, didn't he?
I could be wrong.
I thought I saw it written somewhere, but I'm not too sure. But So, as he had a license, did you double man or did he just?
No,
he just came along for the ride, essentially.
He came for the ride. Yeah.
So, how long were you at Rhino for then? Right up until you retired, or?
I actually retired when I was 67.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, for about the last seven years, I'd had a left hand drive.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't tell me who they were putting on it.
Yeah.
Because I'd looked after it, and it was like a new truck. I mean, I loved it.
Yeah. What was it, a DAF again?
I'm a DAF, Space Cab.
Super Space or just a Space?
No, just a Space.
Just a Space, yeah.
I love it. I've got a model of it. Somebody made me a model.
Yeah.
It's got the number plates and everything on it.
Yeah.
And I had that. Anyway, I retired Christmas when I was 67.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been retired a few couple of months, maybe less than that. They asked me to go back and help them out because the bloke they'd put on it had done so much damage. Oh. With left-hand drive.
Yeah.
And he was Polish, would you know?
Right.
That's what I wasn't telling me who was going to drive.
Right.
And anyway, I went back and did quite a bit. And I was thinking I stayed with him, keep working and doing bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Whew. I think I eventually saw more or less finished. And have you ever heard of Billy Bartlett? He Canton Colchester.
I think so.
He had one Volvo, a top of the range, I mean, it was about massive big engine, 660 or something.
Like yeah, yeah.
Big, nice one, really, really yeah. done up. He worked for a Swiss company pulling their trailers, but only out of Belgium.
Right.
And he said, "Eddie, fancy truck sharing."
Yeah.
So his wife wanted him to retire. He was about a year younger than me.
Yeah.
So he had 2 or 3 days and I'd have 2 or 3 days and would, next week he'd do 4 days and I'd do 2 of them. That worked out fine.
Yeah.
It worked out fine.
So were you in the UK or you?
Oh, no, just doing Belgium. That's...
So what, how did you get out of the Bells? Did you go in the car or?
No, we went on the train. Went
on the train on the Eurostar.
No, we used to park in Ipswich.
Right.
Because he lived in Colchester.
Yeah.
So we'd always work as we got home. Whenever we got home, weekends
yeah, so
or whatever.
Right, so then back out in the truck and then just back yeah. and forth to Swiss from Belgium.
No, not Swiss, or, just to Belgium.
Oh, just to Belgium. Sorry.
Yeah,
a Swiss company.
For a Swiss company.
Got you, sorry.
Yeah. Extra logistics.
Oh, yeah, the black trailers.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're just doing like a Belgian, what, changeover or?
No, we didn't. Occasionally, I'd be there 2 or 3 days and then yeah. the van got a load back. They'd run me around
That's
Belgium.
Nice little number, isn't it?
Yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah, not too far to go. And,
no.
Yeah.
So I worked for Billy for a couple of years or more, I suppose.
Yeah.
Then I still did a bit for Brighton Oilers, and when they wanted me, I'd fill in and help them out.
Yeah.
And I did the fun run at Felixstowe.
Okay.
They did that every Easter.
Yeah.
And I did that for, I don't know, years and years and years. So I had to take the trailer down there, strip it out for them.
Right. But you weren't actually running then? You weren't running?
No. hard push to walk.
I just imagine you doing a fun run, Bernie.
No, that was quite nice.
Yeah,
just to do that, but it was still lovely to just work with Brian on. I still keep in contact with him.
Yeah. So you've now finally hung your keys up.
I finished when I was 73.
Yeah. Just because you'd had enough, or well, not I had enough. But...
No, what happened? I don't know if you want to put this on there, really. Pauline had got a drink problem.
Yeah.
Hence the reason she'd now got serious dementia.
Yeah.
She collapsed in the kitchen one Tuesday.
Yeah.
I had to get the ambulance out and take her in the hospital. She was in the hospital for 17 days, drying out and trying to get back in. Let's just say she's got dementia quite badly now.
Yeah.
And now it's time to back up.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've done the hardest job I've ever done in my life for the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take my hat off to you for doing that.
Well,
you miss the driving?
I missed it an awful lot to start with.
Yeah.
I really, really did miss it.
Yeah.
Not just the driving, but the camaraderie, you know, you saw, but that changed.
Yes.
That's not the same now as it was.
No, you must have seen that just gradually happen.
Yeah.
Over the years. Yeah, yeah.
But now I'm doing a bit in the garden now, and I'm just absolutely I just love to see nature in there.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, I've got time now to see things and, you know.
Not concrete and warehouses and lay-bys and things like that.
I mean, you know, you can see the birds down the bottom of the garden there now.
Yeah.
I feed them all the time. They're there all the time.
Yeah.
And yesterday, you wouldn't believe what happened yesterday. I've never seen it before and I'll probably never see it again.
Mm-hmm.
A dragonfly.
Yeah.
Come and sell me hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Just like and that's just fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah, you don't get that at Geezer Wind, do you?
No.
Definitely not.
No. But I had a lovely career.
Yeah.
Had some ups and downs, for sure.
As they all do, yeah. But you've certainly seen some places.
I've seen an awful lot, but
yeah.
I've been to places that, you know.
Was there anywhere that you never got to that you wish you had?
I'd love to go to Ireland.
You've never been to Ireland?
No.
Crikey. Yeah.
I've never got to Portugal.
Yeah.
And I have one dream since I was about 14 years old.
Yeah.
Was to go to Nashville.
Nashville. Well, that's very unlikely in a truck, I suppose, isn't it?
Very funny. But I love my country music and that's one of the mainstays of my life and I love that.
There's still time. You never know. Well, circumstances dictate.
Not at the moment.
No, not at the moment. But
You never know.
No, you never know. You've got to have a dream, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to say I'm 81 now. And,
yeah.
Still getting up in the morning.
That's it, yeah.
And luckily I've still got some lovely friends.
Yeah.
Including yourself.
Yeah.
John Overton.
Yeah. A lot of the other old Trans UK boys.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't see much of them anymore, unfortunately.
No. But you can't. That's out of your hands, isn't it, unfortunately? So
Unfortunately, it is. Otherwise, I would be there every week. And so yeah. I really should go and see John Overton.
Yeah.
But
it's not easy, is it?
It's not. I can't
it's
be
not, unfortunately.
No, it's not. It's, no. It's life.
Yeah. 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 Well, Bernie, it's been an absolute pleasure doing this. Yeah, really enjoyed it, mate.
It's a pleasure to see you as well. I hope I've helped you with some things.
Oh, you have, definitely. Yeah, it's been great fun. And we'll hopefully catch up with you soon.
What was it about, mate?
Lovely. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thank you.
See ya.